Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
All right, as the quote underwear Olympics continue in Indianapolis, we turn now to a guy that always has his finger on the pulse, and that is Jody McDonald. Jody Mack, welcome back. It's great to have you with us, my friend.
Mr. Jones, been a minute. Glad to hop back on with you, bud.
Absolutely. I always feel there's a couple of stages to this. I always feel what you do in free agency then sets up what you do for the draft. When you look at the Eagles at this stage, what are a couple of things that you think they need to set up in free agency to then allow them to draft the way they need?
You have the exact right read on it. Free agency first, then the draft. But added to the Eagle mix this year is, are they going to have to replace Hassan Reddick? Because
yes,
a couple of weeks ago it came out that the Eagles granted permission for Reddick to seek a trade. At first it sounded to me like, oh, well, Reddick wants out. And he took to social media and said, listen, it wasn't my idea. I didn't ask for a trade. So yeah, it was the Eagles trying to set the market by allowing him to check what the other teams in the league would be willing to pay him. With the cap going up as significantly as it did, I think Hassan Reddick's going to jump into the top 10 as far as payment for edge guys. And if the Eagles aren't going to be willing to get to 23 or 24 million prior, they're going to end up trading Hassan Reddick, and then you got to replace him. So are you just going to go get a free agent who's a lesser cost but also a lesser player? Are they going to go back to the defensive line with their first round pick? Yeah, it's a domino effect. One thing affects the other, and I'm afraid that they played a Hassan Reddick card for the purpose of trying to negotiate, but it might come back to bite him in the butt, because I am a big Hassan Reddick fan. I want to see him get that extension and stay. But as of right now, I would say it's 50-50 at best that he's back with the Eagles.
And that was going to be my next question, was about Reddick anyway, so you jumped right on the train. I was thinking to begin with, because to me, Reddick, to me, is a domino effect on the other 10 players on that defense. I mean, what he does has a domino effect on the rest of that defense, and I don't think there's anybody else in that defense I can say it about.
If you ask me who was the best Eagle defensive player last year, my answer is Hassan Reddick.
Yep.
And you don't usually, well, you still have him under contract, and a guy who's happy to be here. Sometimes guys are under contract, they're not happy, they want out. He had not started this process, just been a, hey, how woefully underpaid have I been the last 2 years as far as production and the first 2 years of the three-year, $45 million contract he signed. He wasn't looking to get out. He was just looking to be fairly compensated, and gave the Eagles a chance by opening renegotiation talks. You would make the decision yourself to get rid of your best defensive player when your defense was the weakest part of your team last year? Doesn't seem to make sense. I know it's a capped world in which we live in the National Football League, and Howie Roseman is as good as any general manager in the game at working the cap. I would be very disappointed if he doesn't find a way to work the cap and keep us on Reddick for the next 2 to 3 years.
So Reddick hangs over this, but what positionally you feel that the Eagles need to address in free agency besides Reddick, because a veteran might be a better option than a rookie?
Howie Roseman spoke at the Combine yesterday and said a couple interesting things, not a whole hell of a lot, but, and I didn't expect a whole hell of a lot, but one of the things that he did say is that James Bradbury is still part of the plan. Bradbury had as bad a year as he's ever had in the National Football League, coming off a phenomenal first year with the Eagles. He went backwards badly, and at age 30, you certainly have to be scared that, uh-oh, Father Time is catching up, and he's just not the player he was anymore. I thought he was a potential cap casualty this year, but Howie can change his mind. As my partner on Birds 365, John McMullen, likes to say, when these guys are doing these press conferences, they're not under oath. They are allowed to change their mind. They can think one thing one day and then think something completely different a week later. I think Bradbury is less than 50-50 to be back with the Eagles, which means they need another starting cornerback. The young guys they played there last year, Ringo and Ricks, were okay filling in when injuries cropped up, but neither one of them jumped off for me that, wow, there's a starter down the road for the next 5 years. So I would say, if you ask me what position I think their top pick will play in this year's upcoming draft at number 22, I think they're looking at a corner.
Yeah. Is running back something you go for in free agency, and how do you view DeAndre Swift?
I'm a Swift guy. Loved the trade before they made it. I hopped on social media when the Lions took a running back in the first round last year. I said, maybe DeAndre Swift should be available. The Eagles should look into it. Damn it if they didn't make a trade within the next 24 hours.
Yeah.
So I'm a Swift guy. Had a darn good year last year. He's a free agent, so they've got another Philadelphia guy you would think would want to stay, but they've got to convince him to stay and how they're going to use him, plus pay him what the going rate on the market is. I would say this is a player highly unlikely to be back. Not going to say 100% out the door, but unlikely. I think they will look for a less expensive than DeAndre Swift will cost this year alternative, if not look to get lucky in the draft. I don't think they'll use any of their top three picks. They've got a first and 2 seconds. But third round and any time thereafter, they could be looking for their next running back in the draft.
Right. Offensive line, I mean, I don't think Kelce has said what he's doing yet, but do you feel like the way they built the offensive line, they picked the kid out of Nebraska who can play center and so forth, is that something where they feel comfortable, whether he, you know, they'd love to have him back, but if he's not back, they feel comfortable they can move parts?
And my guess would be we'll hear something in the next couple of days, week at most, because Jason Kelce isn't going to make the Eagles not know his desire for the upcoming season before the new year league year starts, which is March 11th. So we're going to get something the next 7 to 10 days. I kind of flopped on this one, Steve. I'd been saying all along I think he's coming back, and too much was made of him bro-hugging his teammates after the playoff loss in Tampa. I thought that he played well enough this year to want to come back and have, and that was a real bad taste in your mouth, that Tampa loss in the playoffs. I thought he'd want to give himself another shot, and I thought he was enjoying himself rooting for his brother to take down another championship, and he might not want to give that competition and that feeling up. But he did a podcast with Chris Long in which he said, the Eagles, the Eagles, the Eagles, the Eagles, and the Eagles. He never said we once.
Yeah.
And if he still considers himself part of the team and a guy who's going to be back next year, I thought he would have at least worked one we in there, which he didn't. Add that to the 5, 6, 7 meetings he had with all the major sporting outlets about potentially making that transition to the announcer role when your playing days are over and done with. Yeah, I'm now on the side of chances are they're going to have to replace Jason Kelce for next season.
And I think Kelce, when he goes into this world, is going to be just fine. I think he's actually going to be a really good analyst. It's not as easy as maybe some people think it is, but I think he'll do well.
He's been a natural at it on his podcast. He did an Amazon appearance during one of their games last year and fit in like a glove. You and I see that the same. If he does it, he's going to do it very well. Yeah. He'll be good at that just like he is at playing center in the National Football League, which will someday land him in Canton, Ohio.
Yeah, exactly. And and I saw that Amazon with Kirk and Al, and he was terrific.
Mm-hmm.
How do you look at the combine? All these years of the combine, how do you look at it now?
Good question. The first word that comes to mind for me is lesser. It's lesser than what it used to be, and I think that's pretty damn evident by the fact that a whole bunch of teams don't even bother to send their general manager and their coach anymore, which I think of as stupid and lazy, but facts are facts. And the Rams did it first during COVID, and now other teams are following suit. They don't have to meet the media. They believe they can get all the information they want via videotape and through their scouts who do attend. I'm sorry, there's just nothing as good as being able to look a young man in the eyes when you're talking to him. When you get a short term, now they get 15 minutes apiece, that's about it. But you can pick up some information and a feeling about a player. I think it's foolish for those teams that don't attend, but if they're ever increasing, 8 coaches, 6 general managers not in attendance, That tells me it just isn't what it used to be. And the star players, I mean the top of the first round, they don't participate. They come in, they let them poke and prod and do medicals on them, and then they get the hell out of Dodge. So at one time I thought it was great. Now I think it's still a necessity and something you can learn plenty from, but it's not what it used to be.
Well, for the players, they have to go because it's a job interview. I mean, pure and simple. Not everybody's at the top of the draft, so where do I fall into place? But I always love when people go through the 40 times over and over again. Okay, that's fine. Jerry Rice ran a 4.71, and Larry Fitzgerald ran a 4.63. I don't recall either one being caught in the field. Do you?
No. And Tom Brady ran one of the most embarrassing 40 times at the combine ever, and it didn't keep him from becoming the greatest quarterback of all time. So, yes, sometimes the data that's mined out of the combine can be tremendously overstated. You like to have it just as a point of reference.
Sure.
But if you're making major decisions because of it, you're not running your football team the way you should be.
Exactly, because there's still, I mean, I want all the data because I just want everything so I have it. But I also have to have the ability, if I'm going to be a general manager, and Howie's like this, okay, what kind of football player is he? I need football players. Right? And to me, that's sometimes, if you're so data-driven, I think, that's only my opinion, I think you miss that part if you don't have a read on somebody who's an actual player that knows how to play the game.
The best organizations in the National Football League right now are those that can mesh old school with new school, which is analytics and data-driven. For those who say, I can see everything with my naked eye, so you're going to pass over good information that's available to you? Foolish.
Right.
And if you think that all you got to do is crunch numbers and you can find a great player and a good football team without being there and watching a guy play in as he's playing live, that's ridiculous as well. The best of them meld those two worlds together.
How do you, I do have to ask you, how do you feel about games are week to week to week to week? Do you enjoy the off season at all in terms of how all this stuff plays out, or are you somebody who sits there and I can't wait till the games start up again?
Sure. Seeing as my father was the general manager of three Major League Baseball teams.
Exactly.
The Cardinals and the Tigers.
Exactly.
Oh, I'm an amateur GM. I'm second guessing. I'm looking over Howie Roseman and every other general manager's shoulder every day. That's what we do as fans. Of course we love the off season.
I knew I was going to get that answer because of your dad. I knew it. That's why I asked it. That's why I asked it. Hey, you're the best. Thanks so much for your time. You're always so generous, and the analysis is always spot on. Thanks so much.
Steve, my pleasure. Make sure you grab me back before the draft happens, and we'll see if we can figure this out before the Eagles get on the clock.
You got it, my friend. Thank you.
You got it, bud.
Jody McDonald, Jody Mack. We have fun with this.